You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, joined by the, well, simply irreplaceable Tom Fitton, the president of Judicial Watch, by my money, one of, if not the most important public policy organizations in Washington, D.C. these days. It describes itself as a watchdog. It is indeed performing that role, but to a degree that the United States Congress is not. It is really providing an incalculably important oversight function, holding accountable elected and appointed officials in a way that virtually no one else is doing. It is a delight to have its president, Tom Fitton, the author of The Corruption Chronicles, Obama's Big Secrecy, Big Corruption, and Big Government, and Clean House, Exposing Our Government Secrets and Lies, with us. Tom, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio. It's so good to have you, my friend.
Frank, good to be with you. Thanks for having me. Thanks for the intro.
Well, listen, you've earned it and more. Let me ask you, Tom, to sort of introduce a multifaceted topic with us. When we think about the current parlous state of our republic, it is pretty obvious that a number of the forces at work have been unleashed years ago. And I'm particularly interested in both your corporate memory as well as your investigative work on the role of the Obama and Clinton teams in Benghazi, for example, and in overthrowing friendly, if authoritarian, governments in the Middle East, and the contribution that's made to so much of what seems to be afflicting American interests, not just in that region, but here at home as well.
Well, we're at war in Syria today, thanks to Obama and Hillary Clinton. There's no doubt about it. You know, we had been investigating the attack on our consulate or our special mission in Benghazi, and we uncovered documents showing the Obama administration knew about arms transfers from Benghazi to Syria, specifically knew about the nature of the conflict in Syria that was coming, which was that the West, including the United States, was supporting the terrorist entities that were, quote, the rebels in Syria.
Including Al-Qaeda, as I recall.
That's right, Al-Qaeda. And there was warnings about the emergent ISIS movement in the border region between Syria and Iraq, because the government recognized at the time, when you had the Syrian government forces pull back from the border and the Iraqi forces pull back from the border as a result of the ensuing the conflict that was then emerging, that someone else would step in. The ISIS effort and the caliphate goal was really reinvigorated. And all of that was warned about in this DIA document that Judicial Watch discovered 3 years ago, Frank, that showed the Obama administration knew everything that could and was going wrong in Syria, but double down on. As I said, they knew the weapons were going in from Benghazi to Syria in such a way that they could count which weapon type was going out, which meant they had an inside source.
Or for actually facilitating it, is my guess, Tom Fitton. Yeah, one of the things that I think you haven't yet gotten your hands on, alas, but that we really need to see is Presidential Study Directive 11, I believe it's called, which was essentially the mandate from President Obama for the overthrow of these governments, not just in Libya, but in Egypt and Tunisia and for that matter, I think, in Syria. Have you been trying to get your hands on that, Tom? And how important do you think that document might be as kind of a Rosetta Stone on the policy hash-up that they made?
I don't know if we have a specific Freedom of Information Act request for that, but it occurs to me as you describe it that the DIA report, to the degree it's echoed in these other directives and other briefings the president was getting, it's going to make the Obama administration look unbelievably reckless in its handling of the Syria situation.
Malfeasant comes to mind. And as we're talking about the Clinton team, let me just ask you to broaden the lens here to the domestic as well. You cover this really magnificently at Judicial Watch. The Mueller probe, you have written, is out of control. And as it's playing out, some of the people who have been intimately involved with Mueller over the years are once again in the news. Jim Comey, the former director of the FBI, is about to start a book tour. Loretta Lynch, the former attorney general to President Obama, and overseer of the FBI, such as she was during the day, is out doing her own, but seems like, damage control. What do you anticipate is going to be sort of the leitmotif of Comey's book, and will there be new insights into the conflicts of interests that all of these characters have, notably Bob Mueller?
Comey will, I think, throw spears at everybody. He's already criticized Attorney General Lynch and the Justice Department, of course, ignoring the FBI's own politicization. And it's being reported today, he compares Donald Trump to a mob boss. So it's going to be ugly. President Trump was right to fire Mr. Comey, and the whole Mueller investigation is tainted as a result of Comey's involvement in its creation. Because recall, Frank, Comey admitted that he took documents and leaked them in order to get the special counsel appointed. And, you know, crimes resulting in the appointment of a special counsel, it usually means because the special counsel has to figure out what the crime is or investigate a crime. It doesn't mean the crime caused the appointment, meaning it was the basis of his appointment. It's an unbelievable situation.
Yeah, and a new document that seems to have been developed to cover certain behinds involving the Manafort prosecution has just come to light as well. And it seems, Tom, almost everywhere you look, and thank God you are looking everywhere you can, there's evidence of misconduct, of either just plain old-fashioned corruption or malfeasance, as we said. And one example of which was speaking of Loretta Lynch, her meeting with Bill Clinton. That story keeps on developing as well. What are you finding there?
Well, you know, what's outrageous about that, and everyone knows about that tarmac meeting, is that the Justice Department created a series of talking points. You know, supposedly it was just a meeting about grandkids. It's a coincidental, but they had two pages of talking points. They've all been blacked out by this Justice Department. And that's the problem we're facing, is that you had all of these issues emerge during the Obama administration with the politicization and the bias and corruption of the Justice Department and FBI with respect to the Clinton administration, with Clinton email. And it continued with the Trump targeting. And all of that's being protected by this Justice Department and FBI. It's incredible to see them bending over backwards to protect Clinton and allow those who want to target Trump illicitly to go forward without much accountability.
And what's up with that, Tom? I mean, is this that the Justice Department is still largely populated by Obama holdovers or leadership failings on the part of Trump personnel? What's your assessment?
I just don't think there's this interest in the corruption issues that the voters have, and they don't think accountability is important. I don't know how else to describe it. It's been well over a year, and look, there's more than enough evidence to arrest Hillary Clinton. Just late last year, we found that we uncovered the nature of the classified information on Anthony Weiner's laptop. This classified information was on Hillary Clinton's email server. It got on Weiner's laptop through her aide, Yuma Abedin, who also had an email account on the server, and it included the identity of a CIA official. You know, that type of classified information and mishandling classified information would have resulted in the arrest of anyone else.
And speaking of Yuma Abedin, who I have long regarded as a very problematic right-hand woman to Hillary Clinton, Tom Fitton, what you have uncovered through your Freedom of Information Act efforts and related lawsuits and so on indicates a pattern of misconduct with respect to the handling of classified information and other procedures of the State Department that would also be the sort of thing that warrants prosecution. What's your reading on her status and the extent of her exposure?
Well, that's a good point, because it's not just Hillary Clinton who faces potential liability. It's Yuma Abedin. You've got the classified information on her accounts that were not government accounts, just as Hillary Clinton had classified information on her accounts. Everything you hear about Hillary Clinton in terms of classified mishandling applies to Yuma Abedin and maybe others in the State Department. And on top of that, you also had her being the kind of the go-between with the Clinton Foundation in terms of the pay-to-play situation, where Clinton Foundation donors were getting special favors from the State Department, and Ms. Abedin was right in the center of that.
Right. Some of them, like this Skolkovo saga, are very, very high-order national security concern. Let me ask you finally, Tom Fitton of Judicial Watch, about another story that I know you all have been trying to track. It's not gotten anything like the attention that it seems to me it deserves, apart from your good efforts, namely this seeming Pakistani ring, perhaps attached to the ISI, the Intelligence Services of Pakistan, that operated and to some extent seems perhaps still to be tied into numbers of Democratic members of the House of Representatives, the so-called Awan Brothers IT scandal. What's your latest reading on that, Tom?
Well, I'm just interested that the House and the House isn't terribly interested in figuring out what went on with that scandal. It was a case of a gang, really, a family and close associates who had the in on IT support services for Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who at the time was head of the DNC, and basically 40 members of the Democratic caucus in the House, including members of the Intelligence Committee. And they were running a racket out of the House. And, you know, the open question is, was it just a gang, a normal criminal gang that was taking money that didn't belong to them in terms of not providing services and getting paid for services that weren't provided, stealing data, stealing equipment, hacking systems? Were they just messing around because they were criminals? Or was there something more nefarious? As you point out, the Pakistan connection. At one point, the IT support for these folks were being run out of Pakistan by one of these Awan brothers. And despite the criminality that they were alleged to have engaged in, the ringleader was allowed to remain in the House for a period of time because Debbie Wasserman Schultz, by her own admission, was concerned that he was being targeted because he was Muslim.
This is a story that we need to continue plumbing, and we look forward to doing so with you and the help of your terrific team at Judicial Watch, including our friend Chris Farrell. Thank you so much, Tom Fitton, for joining us today. Keep up that good work, my friend. Come back to us again very soon. Robert Spencer joins us next. We'll talk about Mike Pompeo's nomination and more right after this.